I'm Jeff Booth, and this is The Big Picture here on The Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. And normally in this segment, we talk about politics. Not always, but the majority of the time we do. But getting close to Christmas, I don't really want to talk about politics. I want to be thinking about Christmas. And that's going to be true for the rest of this week. Now, on Sunday, you might want to listen in because it's our annual A Visit with Santa Claus, which is a staple that we do every year. If you haven't heard it, please take a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. Not sure what we're going to do on Friday. I'm going to have to pre-record Friday because I'm going to be busy being Santa Claus. Yes, the secret is out. I am Santa Claus. I use the same voice you'll hear on Sunday, but I wear the full rig and the makeup and the beard and the whole thing I have. I'll sit in the makeup chair. They'll make my cheeks all rosy, which is much better than their usual palette of pallid. And then I go out and visit children. It's one of those things that I both love and don't like at the same time. It's a wonderful thing to be able to do and see the children's smiling faces, but the pressure is enormous because kids really believe. And when I'm out there, now I'm a trained actor, and I bring that to bear here because I have to be Santa Claus. That's important. To these kids, Santa's 100% real, and I need to be 100% real. I have to be Santa Claus. And for me, from an acting standpoint, it's improvisational, but still one of the more difficult acting assignments I have done. Just because for me, there's so much writing on it. These kids will remember this Santa Claus for a long time. At least until they're adults, when I understand, based on the Hallmark movies, that they completely forget everything about Santa Claus. And then have to be reminded as adults through some intervening Christmas magic. So I'll pre-record the show tomorrow, but I have no idea what I'm going to do. Fortunately, I know what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about one of my favorite Christmas carols, Baby, It's Cold Outside. It was an Academy Award-winning song. It was written by Frank Lesser in 1944. And became pretty famous when, in 1949, it was part of the film Neptune's Daughter, where it won its Academy Award. It's a classic Christmas song now, even though nowhere in the song does it say anything about Christmas. But now this classic song is being accused of being rapey. And look, I'm all on board with the Me Too movement. And yeah, we've got real problems with rape. But also, there are people out there who have a very strong anti-sex agenda, and so they grab on to anything they can to promote their belief that sex is bad, that you shouldn't have sex unless you're married, and then you should only be doing it because you want to have babies, and the last thing as a woman you should be doing is actually enjoying sex, or even worse, wanting to have it. So it's important to keep in mind that their mindset when they view everything, the way they see things in their worldview, is that women don't want to have sex, so that anything that encourages women to have sex is coercive and wrong. Now, interestingly, the history of this song is very, very different. In the 40s, Frank Lesser was a well-known composer, and he wrote it to sing with his wife, Lynn Garland, at a housewarming party in New York City at the Navarro Hotel. And interestingly, everyone laughed at the end of the song because they sang the song as a way to tell people that the party was over. And doing the song at the end of evenings got them invited to an awful lot of parties. And while it made them very popular, it ultimately caused some friction in their marriage. Here's why. Because he sold it to MGM. And his wife was furious. She said, "I felt as betrayed as if I'd caught him in bed with another woman." Now the song has become clickbait with dozens of articles. But the actual truth about the source for this idea that this song is about coercive sexuality, the first time I could find for this in print was in a book from 2011. These essays are older. It contains a lot of different essays, published for the first time, translated into English. The book's called America in an Arab Mirror. And the essay in question was by Saeed Kutub. You may not be familiar with him, but he is considered the intellectual father of modern Al-Qaeda. That's right. The idea that Baby, It's Cold Outside was sexist actually came from a guy who was at the very core of the founding of Al-Qaeda, an anti-woman extremist's extremist. So I don't think that he actually had what was good for women in mind. So what he's writing about took place around 1950, 1951, and he went to a church social group, and there was dancing. And here's how he described the dance, and this is not intended to be complimentary. He wrote, "The dance floor was lit with red and yellow and blue lights and with a few white lamps, and they danced to the tunes of the gramophone, and the dance floor was replete with tapping feet, enticing legs, arms wrapped around waists, lips pressed to lips, and chests pressed to chests. The atmosphere was full of desire. When the minister descended from his office, he looked intently around the place and at the people, and encouraged those men and women still sitting who had not yet participated in this circus to rise and take part. And as he noticed that the white lamp spoiled the romantic, dreamy atmosphere, he set about, with that typical American elegance and levity, dimming them one by one, all the while being careful not to interfere with the dance or bump into any couples dancing on the dance floor. And the place really did appear to become more romantic and passionate. Then he advanced to the gramophone to choose a song that would benefit this atmosphere and encourage the males and the females who were still seated to participate. Now, keep in mind, he doesn't think this dancing business is a good thing. And the song that the good father chose was Baby, It's Cold Outside. He wrote, "It's composed of a dialogue between a boy and a girl returning from their evening date. The boy took the girl to his home and kept her from leaving. She entreated him to let her return home, for it was getting late and her mother was waiting, but every time she would make an excuse, he would reply to her with this line, 'But baby, it's cold outside.'" So, we can pretty much guess Al-Qaeda doesn't like this song. But he didn't keep her from leaving. He encouraged her to stay. There's no physical barring of the door. Documentary filmmaker Adam Curtis states in his film, The Power of Nightmares, and I'm quoting, "To most people watching this dance, it would have been an innocent dance of happiness. But Kotob saw something else. The dancers in front of him were tragic lost souls. They believed they were free, but in reality they were trapped by their own selfish and greedy desires." And he returned to Egypt, fully radicalized. To him, Baby, It's Cold Outside summed up all that was evil about America. So the idea goes back to 1950, but the earliest in writing, because we didn't have that in English until 2011, there was a 2004 article in Canada's National Post, and the author, Rob McKenzie and Joe Baudelai, wrote, "Baby, It's Cold Outside has a lovely melody, but it's an ode to statutory rape. In some, the man gets the girl drunk amid her protestations so he can take advantage of her." But here's the problem. That was part of their regular humor column. It was a joke. The National Post said that the article was meant to be a tongue-in-cheek, throwaway joke, poking fun at political correctness. But people actually took it seriously. Of course, this didn't really take off until there was social media for people to put up any crazy idea that they wanted to. But all the earliest stuff you can track down was all done as joke, including in 2007 when Funny or Die released a parody video that offered a dark reimagining of the song's lyrics. But again, it was parody. There have been writers who have tried to parse the meaning of the lyrics and gone kind of really way out on a limb with it, but you can't just make up the meaning of lyrics or change them from what their original intent was. This is written for a married couple to sing in the 1940s. And yes, there are some problematic lyrics, but they're only problematic now. Like the line, "Say what's in this drink," didn't really mean much until after Bill Cosby and people slipping date rape drugs into people's drinks. But certainly, at that time, they wouldn't have even been able to conceive of such a thing. And of course, in 1940, decorum was very important. So when she says, "I ought to say no, 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 sir, at least I'm going to say that I tried." They're flirting with each other. That's flirting. That's not sexual coercion. Read the lyrics. Keep in mind that this is a song from the 1940s. And here's the one thing I bet you missed. It's like he's trying to get her to stay the night. She's already stayed the night. He says, "Look out the window at this dawn. The sun is coming up." And here's the real kicker. In the movie, Neptune's daughter Esther Williams and Ricardo Montalbán sing the song together in the traditional way, but Betty Garrett and Red Skelton also sing the song, but they flip the roles. You can watch it on YouTube, and it works as well. It's funny and charming. Yeah, the Me Too movement is important, but that doesn't mean that all voices are equally valid. And what we shouldn't be listening to are the people who hop on the movement, who believe that women shouldn't have the autonomy to have sex when they want it, or that people shouldn't be having sex at all except under limited circumstances. And the song isn't really about sex. If the sun's already coming up, they were going to have sex, they probably already would have done it.